You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action, another busy day of the Irish Sea with action at Cork and Naas. My name is Mark Walton and joining me to look ahead to it is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Yes, Mark, fine, yeah. I thought I might have a day off today, but we've got two meetings to contend with. And tomorrow as well, goodness me.
Yeah.
It's never ending.
It is, there's plenty going on over there.
We've just had
the Galway Festival as well. You'd expect it to maybe quieten down a bit now, but none of that. More racing.
I know. No piece of the wicked, as they say.
We're going to focus mainly on the card at Cork today. We're going to get some of Andy's best bets at Naas as well. But what do you make of Cork? Your bigger preference anyway?
Definitely, yeah. It's a nice shape to it. Lots of runners. A lot of good speed figure horses running today as well, which is also... worth pointing out. We have got a couple of horses that don't go, which I would have probably selected, but I have got some substitutes all the same. So, yeah, I'd virtually say every race has got a little bit of interest in as well.
Good stuff. Let's get stuck into it then. The first race is the 205. We start here with a mare's maiden hurdle. Over 2 miles, the market headed by Edith Somerville, who's 7-2, 9-2 for David's Jewel, 5-1 for Presenting Marla, Loyalty Card, another one at 5, 6-1 for Lenora, 8-1 for Hardfort and Charlander, and it's 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Few non-runners here as well. Number 3, number 16 and number 17 don't go there in this race. But who do you like in the opener, Andy?
Yeah, it's quite a competitive mare's race, this. I think 4 or 5 can be fancied. And 1 or 2 have already been backed as well. Edith Somerville and Lenora, by the time we've recorded this, around about 11 o'clock, have already come in for decent money. Can certainly see why Edith Somerville's fancied. That was a good effort the other day down in Killarney. And she's sure to win one of these races sooner rather than later. I quite like Hardfort, though, here. Begin to sound a little bit of like a broken record sometimes going for horses that I've tipped before, but I'm pretty sure that Hardfort will win one of these in due course. She's had 18 starts. She still hasn't won, but through no lack of trying, I think her main fault, if there is one, it's not a fault, but fundamentally she's not very big. She's just a bit of a small mare, and when she comes up against sort of bigger, more scopier types, she tends to get bullied and brushed aside, but like I say, you can't fault her speed figures or an effort. She comes out really well on my numbers on her last two starts. Here at Cork behind Theo as well, who runs later on the card, by the way, in the handicap for Mickey Winters. And then, funny enough, last time she went even faster. She set a real furious pace at Wexford, only to get rushed, run out of it by Theatre Sunset. Again, another horse who runs later on today on the same card. They pull well clear of the rest, and she only just caved in the latter in the last 50 yards. She's going to make the run in here today, and usually that's quite a good tactics to adopt here at Cork. It is very much a speed orientated front runner's track. So with that in mind, around about 8-1 this morning, she's going to be quite difficult to shrug aside from the front, so I think at the very, very least she'll hang on and finish in the frame.
Okay, and on to the second race next then. This is at 2.35, and this one is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Theo as well heads the market at 5-2, just being trimmed a little bit from 11-4. 9-2 for Rock on Fruity. Equity Swap is 7-1. Miles ahead, another one that's attracted a bit of support this morning, 17-2 into 7-1. 8-1 for Captain Carlton, and 12s or bigger for the others. Again, a couple of non-runners here. Number 3 nearest the pin, and number 2, The Ring is King, don't go, but I don't see that having too much of an effect here. Andy, who do you like in the 2.35?
Yeah, I think the front end of the market is about right here, Mark. I didn't see much juice in any of the prices from the others down in the midst of the prices. So I'm just going to centre on the front two here, Theo as well and Rock on Fruity. They definitely set good standards. They come out well on my figures. Actually, top of the figures is Rock on Fruity. I think he's a decent each-way bet here. If you didn't want to take a short price, relatively speaking, about Theo as well. He was involved in that red-hot race down in Belliestown the other day, which saw £10 Mac win. I know I selected £10 Mac the other day to run quite well, but unfortunately the heavens opened at Galway for the last 2 days, and he was one of the main sufferers from that absolute deluge and he didn't get a chance to run up to his best. But Rock on Fruity ran really respectably. He's run really well on his last two starts prior to that, winning at Kilbeggan and third to, of course, Gangster the time before at Roscommon. He's quite a strong stayer. With Geraghty on board, I'm sure Charles Burns' his charge will give you a decent run for your money. I think he's, like I say, quite a safe each-way option. Behind Thea as well, who probably would just get the vote. I do want to stay on the right side of Mickey Winters, his informed seven-year-old. He's won his last two starts on the flat and at Ballinrobe and, of course, at Cork here last time out when he cruised to the front, getting a very confident ride from Johnny Burke, who held him up quite audaciously at the back of the field. But he certainly knew what he was doing, and the horse absolutely charged through the field on the bridle and won as easy as you like. He's been given a mark of 114 on his first handicap drive, which I don't think is too over excessive. Obviously, he comes from a yard who is doing really well at this time, moment in time. Of course, Rebel Fitz ran for them yesterday at Galway and looked all over the winner, turning for home, only to just get a little bit tired after that layoff in the latter stages. So I think this race, like I say, is going to be dominated by the front two in the betting. I'll go with Theo as well.
Theo as well for Andy then in the 2.35. The 3.05 is the third race on the card. This one is a hurdle over 3 miles for four-year-olds in order that since the 4th of May 2014 have not won a Grade 1, 2 or 3. The market headed by Ballycorus, who's 11-8, 7-4 for Gold Bullet, 13-2 for Ongenstown Lad, Kyle Crew is 10s, 12s for Millie the Back and 16s for Kuta Mundra. So not many in the lineup here, Andy. Who would you side with in the 3.05?
Well, there's quite a few ageing veterans in this race, which are probably seen better days, like Kuta Mundra, Ongenstown Lad, and Gold Bullet pretty much fit that category. But I'm going to go with a horse with a bit of upside, fairly lightly raced in comparison with the rest. It's Ballycorus, who should take all the beating here. As I mentioned early on in my piece, front runners tend to do really well around this sharp, flat, right-handed galloping track. And this horse does make the running, made all down Royal two starts ago, beating a decent field. And then went to Roscommon the other day in a handicap off top weight and only just succumbed to the informed Steel King in the latter stages. It was a very tough horse once he's off the bridle. I don't think there's anything wrong with that performance whatsoever. And certainly suggested that he stays the trip really well. I'd imagine he'll try and make all the running here. Carl Crew has been doing that to a good effect on his last two starts, but that's in handicap company. And at the weight, he's very much worse off here with Ballycorus. If this was a handicap, he'd actually be receiving weight, but because of the constraints of the way this race has been formed, then it's the other way around. Ballycorus actually receives weight off Carcrow. So, I mean, this is Ballycorus is to lose here, and around about 11-8, I actually think this is a reasonable bet.
Okay, reasonable bet. Ballycorus in the 3.05. The 3.35 is the fourth race on the card. This one is a mare's handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. A couple of significant non-runners here as well. The absent mare, well-named because she doesn't run, and Milano Express, both missing from the lineup, and that leaves Theatre Sunset and Pace and Passion as the 4-1 joint favourites. It's 10-1 for Tim and Aura. Kentucky Lass is 12s, 14s for Misty Weather, 16-1 for Balofila, and 20s or bigger. For the others, who do you like in the 3.35?
Yeah, well, I marked two off for this race. One of them's a non-runner, the absent mare, so I'm left with Theatre Sunset. I'm hopeful, more than hopeful, in fact, that hard fought in the first race can boost the form and the speed figure race of that victory of Theatre Sunsets, of course, last time out at Wexford. It truly was a really strongly run race, and hard fought was the one that served it up from the front, but Theatre Sunset sighed her way through the field. She was actually going really easily at the top of the hill, and although she had to be made to pull out all the stops in the latter stages, I thought it was a really gutsy game effort for the first time for this horse who's been off the bridle. A previous two runs, she hasn't really shown a great deal. So I'm taking on board that she's a much better rated horse than 95. And in a race where there isn't a great deal of strength in depth, I think she'll take over the beating here. So if she can run up to that same level as last time out, the numbers suggest that she's very much a mare on the improve. I'm going to go with David Kelly's Theatre Sunset.
Theatre Sunset for Andy there. Then the 4.05 is the fifth race on the card at Cork, and this one is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. A pretty short price favourite in the shape of Rokonga, who's 6-5, 11-4 for Train Station, 4-1 for Catalonian Fields, 9-1 for Mentor, 10s for Hallow Rosie, and 16-1 are bigger prices for the others. Again, more non-runners here. If Jack, Miami Presence and Change of Address, that's numbers 4, 6 and 2 on the race card. Don't go. But we'll start here with the market leader, Andy, who's got solid enough bumper form and goes over hurdles here.
Yeah, he's already had a couple of spins over hurdles before, so very little effect. But the key to this horse has been his performances so far in bumpers. to a decent standard as well. He bumped into Tesseract the other day. Of course, has gone on to win since from the Aidan O'Brien stable. And there certainly doesn't appear to be too many horses of that quality in this particular race. He should be a little bit more streetwise as well now when he goes back over hurdles than he was before. And in a race where there isn't a great deal of strength and depth, he very much is the one to beat. But I'm going to have to go for the second favourite here because this horse has been absolutely tragically unlucky at this train station. How it hasn't won a race, God only knows. It really is a strong traveller. It's one of these horses that I think will actually do well once it's switched over. Maybe one or two of the British trainers might get hold of it. And because he's got such a high cruising speed, it's been a travesty for this horse not to win. It would have won the other day down in Ballinrobe. It cruised to the front, looked like justifying favouritism. And then, for some inexplicable reason, it just took it off the ball going down to the last, guessed at it, ended up dragging its hind legs on the floor and lost all its momentum. And in the end, Mr. Steadfast, who looked beat to be fair, I tipped Mr. Steadfast, but there was no way he would have won. He just got really lucky in the fact the train station made that horrific blunder. And he just didn't have a chance, because it's a short run at Ballinrobe, to get back. So that was very much the one that got away. Prior to that, he's run really well behind My Minicky Nicko and Swansea Mile. Two reasonably good races, both of which have chucked up subsequent winners. He comes out really well on my numbers. So although Rokango is a nice horse, I'm going to have to go with Train Station because I just think he's a winner waiting to happen.
Train Station friendly in the 405. The 435 is the sixth race on the card. This one is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and three furlongs. Just Call Me heads the market at 7-2. It's 6-1 for Damut. Chief of Panama is 13-2, 9-1 for Copy Print. Stay With It is 10s from 12s, 10-1 for Some Pride, 12-1 on bigger prices for the others. Give Her Back, number 4, and Rialt Rath Cavan is other two non-runners, number 19 there. It leaves us with still a nice field, Andy, but Just Call Me much shorter than the rest. Decent win last time. The step-up in trip looks as if it'll suit, and he's more progressive than most of these.
Yeah, he is, yeah. He won here over the course last time out, which has obviously got to be seen as a positive step in the right direction. And as you quite rightly pointed out, he seems to be getting a little bit better the more races he has. And he's definitely one of the players. But there's a horse that absolutely stands out in this particular race. He's my nap on the card, and that's Joseph Dullier's 7-year-old Damut, who in the first time hood, the last time when we saw him back in May, absolutely bolted up, and he thrashed two horses who've subsequently gone on to suggest that that form is well above average. And I think if the handicapper had a chance to do some retrospective handicapping here, he'd certainly put this 7-year-old a little bit further up the weights than what he's running off here today. He should really take advantage of this. This will be an absolute open goal if he misses it, because let's just take a look at the two horses that he beat that day. Lucky Pat, who was second, went there off the back of a penalty following a victory at the time before. He went on to win next time out at Punchestown. He races off a mark of 118. Handicapper suggests he's as good as that. But look at the horse that finished third, Tempo Mac. Now, that was the first run that sent Tempo Mac on that sort of run up the upward scale. And he subsequently gone on to win three races. Now he races off a perch of 126. So you can see what Damut was beating that day. There was 3¼ lengths back to the second, another 2 lengths back to Tempo Mac. And like I say, he won going away. Back in the field was a horse called Punchbag, who's also won a couple of races subsequently. And he's rated in the 110s. So Damut here off a mark of 98. I mean, he's absolutely chucked in. If he handles a track, no reason why he shouldn't. He goes really well right-handed. Then he's going to take all the beating here. And there's been loads of money for him this morning. So he's the strongest bet on the card.
Strongest bet on the card. Damut for Andy then in the 4.35. The 5.05 is the seventh race. We finish at Cork with a bumper over 2 miles and three furlongs. And Grange Clare Rosa, the William Mullins mare, heads the market at 13-8. 4-1 for Don't Drop Me In. Quest of Valor is 9-2. 10-1 for Brother Gold and Closeu May. And 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. Who do you side with in the lucky last?
Yeah, well, the prices, I'm going to have to go with the second in here, Drop Me In, who travelled supremely strongly the other day at Ballinrobe. Thought he was definitely going to win. Just couldn't quite get the job done and justify his position in the market because the other horse just outstayed him. But I think that run was down to the fact the ground was very, very heavy. It got really chewed up as well. I mean, it was bottomless by the time they run the last race, that bumper. So you'd probably forgive Andrew Slattery's 5-year-old. Prior to that, he only just got nutted again in the narrowest margin by a horse called House Patsy. That was down in Wexford. Again, the front two were well clear. So you've got to say that this horse has been huge and lucky. He actually ripped off a shoe as well that day. So everything that could go wrong for this horse has gone wrong. And it's just amazing that he hasn't won a race. He's got a high cruising speed. That should stand him in good stead. no reason to suggest why he won't stay. He's already gone around Wexford over 2 mile two, so everything looks set fair for Don't Drop Me In to finally put a one in front of those twos.
Don't Drop Me In for Andy then. There, that's the card at Cork. We've also got racing at Nace this afternoon. And if you just want to spin us through a few of your best bets there, Andy.
Yeah, just a few horses that I think podcasters could do well to stay on the right side of. I'm really impressed with Mickey Halford's Al Quawa, second time up at Leopardstown. He was well fancied on debut at Nace, sent off 11-10 favourite. Every World and his wife wanted to back him that day, but he just didn't run up to scratch. But typical of one of Mickey's, he just was basically a much more streetwise horse second time out. He quickened really well. The time of the race is good, but his sectional some three out suggests that he's a horse going places. The ground should be ideal today. They've had a little bit of rain over in Ireland, so something on the easy side of good will suit this car by Fast Company. And he should get favourite backers off to a good start in the first. I'm quite keen on the form that Zillin showed last time out behind a horse I tipped on the podcast called Frozen Lake. Again, they went a real good gallop that day. Back in the field was a horse called Wonder Holly, who's subsequently gone on to win. And usually in big fields down here at Nace, when they have a bit of cut in the ground, the centre of the track is very much the place to be. So drawn into stall 13, I do think Johnny Murta's three-year-old Zillin has got every chance of finally breaking his duck. And the best race on the card comes in the shape of the 425, where a couple of horses catch the eye. Most notably, Five Claw, a horse who hasn't run since back in February on the all-weather Dundalk. But his times and his general progression suggested he's a horse that Mickey Halford could do well with. He might need the run after a little bit of a layoff, but he's an interesting contender all the same. And do keep your eye on Joe Ella as well from the informed Joe Lyons stable. He's a very consistent horse in these kind of sprint races. And he's got form from ranging from 5 furlongs to a mile, so stepping up to 7 furlongs shouldn't hinder his claims either. So just a couple to keep an eye on there. But the best bet on the Nace card is Al Quawa in the first.
Superb work. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck and enjoy the action in Ireland today.
Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.